This is a kind of a special weekend for me because I come from an immigrant family. My grandfather was one of the people who helped to build this country. He was born on a mountainside in Donegal in the northwestern part of Ireland. And he was born 2 years before Abraham Lincoln took office. He scraped a living, and that's what it was, but as a young man, as a young teenager, he came to this country and ended up in Philadelphia and worked there all his life until he was 59. Changed his mind, went back to Ireland, had 6 kids and died, just like that. Wow. So had that not happened, I would not have been there to welcome Pam when she arrived in 1967. So today is a kind of a special day also in this morning service, because this is not a series. They've been having series, indeed series of series, and this is not one. This is just like a one-off service. And so I thought we should talk together about what is true about today. Just today. And we had read for us this amazing passage in Hebrews about today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So I thought, what does the Bible tell us about today? That's true about today, 3rd of July. It's not necessary for next week or whatever. It's today. And I want to pick 3 things. These are 3 things that are good for go today. Sometimes when you come to church, you come with a kind of a filter. You say, okay, it's reasonably comfortable, it's a bit warm, but we're going to filter now what that guy says. He's going to talk and talk and talk, and some things I will be able to deal with, you know. It'll be the right time in my life. The timing will be right. Some things I feel pretty good about. And often that's the way that people listen to a morning service. They think, do I feel good about this? And is the timing right for me? Well, today, you don't need to worry about that at all, because it doesn't matter actually how you feel. And the timing is irrelevant, because it's just about today. And we're going to talk about 3 things that the Bible says are things that we could do today. And the first is the passage we just read, and it's softness. Do not harden your heart today. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. And the second we'll talk about is service. So softness and service. So the second will be Joshua saying, choose you today, this day, today, who you're going to serve. And you could do that before 12:30. And the third thing is salvation. Because we read in 2 Corinthians, today is the day of salvation. So there you go. You'll know when I'm getting towards the end. But first, Hebrews. This is a very sort of somber part of the Bible. And I'm going to read that little piece again. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. Then, verse 11, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. Verse 15, as has just been said, today. If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And in fact, today appears 5 times in this little section of the Bible. 5 times. I think that's like, dying. You're supposed to get that, you know? That's a no-brainer. These are things you can do today. And the actual content is, it's an interesting thing. It's harking back to the children of Israel. They were going through the desert. And after 40 years of God providing miracles, manna, every kind of protection, it seemed like they were, you know, sometimes you think, were they thick? Could they not see that? But after 40 years of seeing God's provision, their hearts got hardened. Now, This is especially important for me because, as you've just heard, we have been married for 40 years. So exactly 40 years last Sunday, Pam and I set out on an adventure it has been, to serve the Lord together. We once went to a counselor years ago because we'd had tremendous work and stress put upon us in our circumstances, and I explained to the counselor, there's three people in our marriage. There's Christ's Great Commission, and there's Pam and me, and the three of us are married. So that's the way it's been. 40 years ago we set out on this great adventure, and you know, I could keep you all day. Maybe we could do it at the picnic. We can tell you amazing things that God has done for us in the 40 years. So this is a passage that speaks to me. Whatever about you, this really does apply to me. After 40 years of seeing what God can do, which was some of it pretty amazing, there is such a thing as fossilizing your heart, as hardening of the spiritual arteries, there's such a thing as becoming hard, of becoming cold, of becoming Mr. Know-it-all. I sent Pam a card last month where it showed on the front a picture of a woman saying to her friend, another woman, "I married Mr. Wright, but I then discovered that his first name was Always." So it can get like that after 40 years. Not just in a marriage, but it can get like that in the church. It can get like that in your personal life. And if you ever want to pray for me, there's something to pray for. Pray that I do not get hard. You know, 40 years you're supposed to learn some things, so we know a couple of things about how to do Christian work. There's a danger, therefore, that we become experts and hard and unteachable. But I want to be learning. I want to be a learner. I want to have an aggressive learning attitude. I want to defer to others. I want to defer to younger believers who know what they're talking about and who can do things better than I can do, or who are wiser, or who are faster, and who need the space to do that. But I can't do that if I'm hard. So, great passage for me today. After 40 years, God is saying, you know, you've seen 40 years of amazing stuff. Don't get hard. Some years ago, I went to, Pam and I work with Campus Crusade for Christ, and one of the great heroes of the faith in that movement is an Indian brother called Thomas Abraham. He started serving the Lord in India in the 1960s, and he was giving a talk to men, and he said, "You think that there are three great temptations to men in positions of responsibility. Famously, it is said they are money and sex and power." But he said there is another one, which is, "I've been doing this for 40 years and I can do it any way I like." That is so dangerous. "I've been doing this for 40 years. I don't need to keep the rules. I don't need to cooperate with you. I can do it any way I like." So, a word to us all. Pray for softness. But back to the text. Verse 7. "If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion." But what did they do wrong? And you read here and you can't see. It doesn't say what they actually did wrong. What was wrong with them? And it goes on through the next chapter. But it never does say what was wrong with them. Then you'll find this is actually a quotation from Psalm 95. If you go to Psalm 95, verse 7, you'll find it still doesn't tell you what went wrong. Was it embarrassing? Why did they leave it out of the Bible? But it sneaks into the Bible finally. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we read what they did wrong. I'll just read it for you, 1 Corinthians 10. It says, "Some of them were, do not be idolaters, or some of them were. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did. And do not grumble, as some of them did." Grumbling? Grumbling, he puts on the same level as sexual immorality, testing the Lord, idolatry. That is such a serious passage of the Bible. 1 Corinthians tells. It tells on the Israelites what they did. And that's one of the things they did. And one of the areas where we need to learn to be soft is in the area of the propensity to grumble. Once you've seen 40 years, there's a lot to grumble about. And it is exactly that area that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, in his great introduction to the guidelines of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, if you are ready to do something really for God, you have your offering, like the Jews did, to bring to the altar. And when you get there, you think, oh, I remember that my brother has something against me. You leave that offering right there. Don't move, don't blink, don't change, don't do anything. You need to go and talk to that brother or sister and be reconciled today. No sacrifices today. Morning service all over. Go home until this is done. That is what Jesus was saying. You get this fixed today, now. Don't wait until you feel good. There's no such thing. I hate doing this kind of thing. Reconciliation drives me mad. But it has to be done. There's no such thing as waiting until the timing is right. The timing is right. It's now. It's today. That's what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. There's a very specific case of softness. Praying for softness in our heart when it comes to personal relationships with others. Okay? Today, right now, if you hear God's voice speaking to you on this subject, do not harden your heart. Funny thing is, the Bible sees through you like an x-ray machine, because Matthew chapter 5 says, you know, if you think the brother has something against you or sister, you need to go to them. And then Matthew chapter 18, it's the same thing again. If you get there and you find that you've got something against them, it's still you has to go. So no matter if it's them that has something against you or you that has something against them, you find out, you go, it's your responsibility. Okay, there's the first thing. Today, if you hear his voice, don't get hard. Pray for softness. And in our time, now, amongst friends, Christian friends, church people, I think that's one of the great applications, is to pray for softness from grumbling, to pray for softness in reconciliation with brothers and sisters. No matter who is in the wrong, it's your turn anyway to go and fix it. The next passage, the next that I want to mention is service, like I said. Softness and then service. And this is in a famous challenge at the end of the book of Joshua. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, beginning of the book. Then they divide up the land. They sort things out. Who's going to get what land? They get the cities of refuge sorted out. Joshua and Caleb, they get sorted out. And then towards the very end of the book, just before we start in the book of Numbers, Joshua, he knows he's at the end of his life, and he makes the big challenge. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are dwelling. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Famous challenge. Choose you today. And it had to be done actually right there. Choose you today who you're going to serve. You got a choice. As far as I'm concerned, me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Choice is yours. Be my guest. Do something. Today, choose. Now this is an interesting text, because if you look at the actual wording, he says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then you choose. Choose the gods that you served in Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites who live here. But notice he does not give them a binary choice of the Lord or nothing. That's not what he said. He didn't say, serve the Lord or nothing. He said, like Bob Dylan said years ago, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. And in Dylan's lyrics, to the younger people, there was a man called Bob Dylan who frequented California and other places in the 1960s. And he wrote a song in his sort of Christian phase called You Gotta Serve Somebody. And in there he says, you may be the ambassador to England, you may be the ambassador to France, they may call you doctor, they may call you chief, but you gotta serve somebody. and how true. One of the most profound things Dylan ever said: you've got to serve somebody. If a man came down from Mars today and he walked with you for during this day or tomorrow or maybe Tuesday when you're actually working and saw your life, who would he conclude you were serving? Because you're serving somebody. You are not primarily a consumer. You're not primarily an economic unit. You're made and created to serve. And it's not something you can defer and procrastinate and say, you know, one day, I think one day I'd like to serve the Lord. That's not the way it is, because we're not in neutral territory. There are calls for your service today. And there's not such a thing as saying, oh, one day I think I'll do something about it. It's a matter of today. Choose today whom you will serve. The choice he offers them is an interesting choice. He said, okay, the Egyptians, you can try that. The Amorites, try that. Those were some of the big options. You know, they'd been slaves in Egypt. But they only got out halfway through the desert when they were saying, oh, why did you bring us out here? It was so lovely in Egypt. Bad memories. Oh, we loved the cucumbers. What's with the cucumbers? And it, you know, it's the fruitfulness of Egypt to this day on the Nile Delta is incredible. It is a whole breadbasket for Northern Africa. And it was then, and it is now. It was a lovely place to live, except that they were slaves. They didn't have their freedom. So there was all the comforts of life were there to touch, but they didn't have their freedom. Say, well, okay, you can give it a go. If you don't want the Lord, maybe that's what you want. Is that what you want? It looked nice. I mean, you remember they went to Egypt to get into the grain and to get into all the nice farming and raising sheep. He said, okay, maybe you want the gods of the Amorites. They're the people who are here. That was so shiny, so nice, the gods of the Amorites. The very people in the land of Canaan they were going to displace. But they had fertility rites. That was their thing. Introducing worship of particular gods to give you instant success. It was an instant thing. You just pull little strings with whatever gods and boop, there was your crops, your wife had the children were healthy. It was a good life. That's what people believed in Canaan. But you get into a little bit, like you get into Egypt a little bit and the next thing it's slavery. You get into Canaan a little bit and the next thing you find that God that you're imploring was so ghastly. There, I mean, I cannot in a public meeting tell you how awful was the religious rites that were demanded of those who worshipped the gods of the Amorites in Canaan. But you see, you are serving somebody already now. Like Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. So who is it? It can be something that looks very shiny, but the next thing, it is a slavery. And you may think in your head, well, I have a kind of a slavery in my life. Or it could be something so shiny that you never want enough. And it's really beautiful, but then it has consequences in your life. We talked to somebody just a few days ago who just... the company has bought his body and soul and he's working flat out, but it's not much of a life. So, choose today whom you will serve. So how would that be? Do you need to make a big missionary commitment here in this room right now? Well, some of the things that the New Testament says is, for example, giving to the needy. If you know someone who is in need and you should be giving to them, a needy person. 2 Corinthians 8 says, don't wait, do it today. Don't wait for them to get needier. They'll not get better. Do it now, do it today. 2 Timothy, if there's someone that needs to understand the gospel and you're with them, present the gospel now. Do it in season and out of season. Don't wait. There's no season for it. Do it now. 2 weeks ago, I was in Paris and visiting with a student who has just graduated. He's just graduated at the University of Nantes in southern France. And he's had all kinds of Christian experience while in university, and he's decided to go into full-time Christian work. And it was great fun talking to him. He's from Cameroon. He was born in Cameroon. And I explained a little bit about my life. I said, I'm married to this amazing woman 40 years ago. During the wedding anniversary season, you just talk about that all the time. So I married this wonderful woman 40 years ago. And she lives a life that cannot be explained apart from Christ's commission. Her life wouldn't make sense apart from Christ's commission. With Christ's commission to go and make disciples of all the earth, her life makes perfect sense. So I explained that to him, and we then had lunch and we wandered around a little bit. I was going back to the airport, and he came with me in the metro all along to make sure I wouldn't get lost, basically, and put me on the right train. And as I was going for the train, he said, I want to be like your wife. Well, I mean, that's impossible. That's stupid. Nobody can be like my wife. But this good Cameroonian brother, he wants to live his life in such a way that it's marked by Christ's commission. Choose you today who you will serve. My wife made a little decision right here, 40 whatever years ago, I lose it all eventually, to decide, if I'm going to serve Christ, I need to go to Bible college. It was just a little decision. She never imagined she would end up where she is, married to me and all that stuff. But it was the point of decision, the point of obedience right there. It was, okay, I'm going to leave Fairhaven Weekly Life and go to Bible college. Well, maybe that's your decision. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's giving to the needy. Whatever it is, choose today. Lastly, I said there was a third thing. There's today, pray for a soft heart. Today, choose who you're going to serve. And thirdly, today, the New Testament tells us, is a day of salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, begins like this. He's talking to the good Christian workers in Corinth. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. This is a quotation from Isaiah. Then Paul says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of his salvation. The overall message of this passage is this. There never was a better time to get right with God than today. There never was a better time. Because note carefully what he's saying. He's quoting something from the Old Testament before Jesus came. This is like hundreds of years before. Isaiah is pointing forwards and he says, the day will come when any Tom, Dick or Harry can just get to know God through Jesus. That the stuff in your life that you're trying to deal with and you can't deal with on your own, it will be dealt with. Don't you worry your little head. The Messiah will come. He will die instead of you. He will die on the cross and boom, there will be forgiveness ready for you. And this is all in the future. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of years. And Paul says, right, that was hundreds of years ago. It's now. Now the cross has happened. It's already dealt with. You don't need special binoculars to see this happening in the future. It's done. It's finished. It's up to you now. Now, today is the day of salvation. There is a song in this hymnal which is missing a verse at the end, because I just checked. And it's the song, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. And the verse that's missing begins like this. Time like an ever-flowing stream bears all her sons away. And that's a very common picture of time. It's like a river that goes by, a stream that goes by. And when I say that, you probably imagine yourself to be standing on the bank watching the river of life, the river of time go by. You've got the wrong picture. Because the picture is, you are a little paper boat and you are on the stream. Time, like an ever-flowing stream, bears all her sons away. You're not standing on the bank watching the water. You're the little paper boat going whoosh. That's why there never was a better time to get right with God than today. In this introduction this morning, it was said that Pam and I work with leaders, and that is true. God has opened doors for us that we are so grateful for, at amazing doors, so that we can bring Christ's gospel to leaders. And one of our colleagues in Ireland had the privilege of talking about spiritual things with the finance minister, the government minister of finance. It actually happened on the roadside. She was driving down to one city, he was driving to another city. They stopped at a place to eat and ran into each other, and this man had been ill. So she said, I want to say, I've been praying for you, not just because you're ill, but because the Bible says we should pray for those in authority, and you're the Minister of Finance, so you deserve it. We need to pray for you. And so that got into a 40-minute conversation of spiritual things, and he said at the end, we should talk about this again. Well, that was a couple of months ago. Then we had a general election, and he was out. So he was no longer the Minister of Finance, he was the, whatever it's called, the Shadow Minister of Finance. About 2 weeks ago, I saw a little on my computer about lunchtime, a little newsflash note came up to say he was dead. He was dead. And we had been planning that I and my colleague would go and talk to him and to explain the gospel more fully. It was a great plan. I have it in my briefcase. But he's gone. Brian Lenihan has gone to meet his maker. It was such a wake-up call for me that if I'm going to be helpful to people and explain things to them, I need to do it. I need to do it now. Today is the day of salvation. Nothing is guaranteed about tomorrow. Strange thing. When he died, the day he died, the radio read out various things about him. One of the things they read out, that he was a great lover of the Bible. And in the Irish language. He read the Bible in the Irish language. So I think, how unusual. Maybe God was working angles that we didn't even know. Let me read, please, what in Ecclesiastes, the very last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Someone has said Ecclesiastes is the 21st century book. And it certainly applies in the 21st century. At the very end of Ecclesiastes, after Solomon has examined the whole world and looked into wine, women, and song, chapter 12, verse 1, he says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them.' Remember him before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." There never was a better day to get right with God than today. When we worked in England, which we did for 17 years, we had a group of young people who were being trained in evangelism. And so somebody had the bright idea, let's do granny evangelism. This would be dead easy. Just train these teenagers a bit, simple gospel explanation, and let them loose on the public park. Because their granny is sitting all over the public park, nothing to do, love to chat to a nice young teenager. And this will make it easy for them. It will give them, experience of helping people into the kingdom of God. He'll be so grateful. It didn't work. It didn't work because granny evangelism doesn't work. Because they've already decided what they want to do with their lives years ago. And so we ended up with a group of just frustrated teenagers. But it was also such a reminder to us, let's do it now before the golden bowl is broken, before the silver cord is severed. Today is the day of salvation. There's one other guy in the New Testament who discovered salvation was today. And this was a man for whom the timing was not right. And certainly he didn't feel right, and it was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 was a small guy. The timing of the parade passing by was wrong because he couldn't see. He was just so he climbed a tree to try and to see Jesus. He would have climbed a cell phone mast. He would have done anything. He was going to do whatever had to be done to connect with Jesus. And maybe you feel like that today. You need to talk to somebody who brought you. You need to talk to me if you like. Talk to some of the elders here. Talk to the Lord, whatever you do. Go to the picnic. Go behind a tree. Think. But do whatever you got to do And when, you know, Jesus met up with him, and obviously there were things in his life that needed to be dealt with, which only Jesus could do. And when he was forgiven of those things, Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house. Today. You could say today. It was on that particular Wednesday or whatever day, but it was today. So there you go. There's things you can do today. You can be soft. Maybe there's somebody you need to be soft about, soft with. Go to see them. You can choose today. What's your step? What's your step? What is the next step in service? You probably know what it is. Probably the Holy Spirit has put it in your heart already. This is a next step I need to take. Take it today, not tomorrow. Maybe take it, write it down, and tell somebody so it's secure. And really, if you've been coming to Fairhaven for years and years and years, and you really wonder, what is my relationship with God? Am I settled and right with God? Then make today the day of salvation for you. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to be unleashed on the Marina Park. So let's turn to God. Heavenly Father, thank you for these reminders in plain English for us to do certain things today. I pray for us who need to soften our hearts and perhaps soften them towards particular people, that we would not harden our hearts today. I pray for those, my dear friends here, who have the next step of service in their heads, in their minds, and they've wondered about it, but there's just a choice to be made. I pray that you give them the strength to choose today. And I pray for the friends who have dithered and wondered and really wonder what is their personal relationship with you, that they would grab this opportunity with both hands today to turn themselves into Jesus for his great amnesty, to experience his love, to enjoy his forgiveness, to get themselves in the door of the kingdom of God, and to enjoy